This episode of the Inner Hole Uprising is sponsored by BetterHelp. Welcome to the Inner Hole Uprising,
the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist hoe who lives in New York City and whose pronouns are she and her.
And me, Rodeca, a fat, black, polyamorous, pansexual pessimist who probably cries too much and uses humor to distract everyone from the fact that we are currently living in the darkest timeline.
He's got new bios.
There's a little more in there, you know?
Pessimism.
Yeah, man.
Every episode of the Inner Hole Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-host will be talking about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally, we will hit you with interviews from insightful folks. This episode, we're talking about love or lack thereof in the time of coronavirus, cute dates to commemorate Women's History Month, what to do when you're looking for a third, but you kind of hate all of the people your partner wants to court, finding sex-positive friends when you're over the age of 50, the beauty of gay parties, and more.
And if you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag InnerHoleUprising so we can see it and the hashtag PodIn so other people can see it. And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can at InnerHoleUprising without the G on Twitter, InnerHoleUprising on Instagram and Facebook. You can also join our Facebook group by searching Inner Hole Uprising Community. That's a play on words, so it's C-U-M. Head to innerholeuprising.com to sign up for weekly goodies via our newsletter, pay a hole, or check out our merchandise.
And if you want to pay us to speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, or other kinds of topics we discuss on this here show, we would love to. So to book us, send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. And our first segment is Hoe of the Week.
We
have several hoes this week.
Woo!
And that means we are very happy and we are very excited and we love all of you hoes. And in case you're new to the show or this is your first time listening in a while, all of our hoes of the week get special nicknames. So here we go. First up, we have Melissa Dapa, aka Mel D, who featured us in their Titan magazine article about black podcasts. The link to that will be in the show notes. Mel D is a Spice Girls reference.
Yes. Okay. I got that.
Thank you. I'm glad. Then we have Ophelia Kemagisha.
OKKK.
AKA OKKK. Ophelia's sister Vivienne asked us to give Ophelia a birthday shout out, so we would like to say happy birthday, OKKK. And then also, Ophelia let us know in our Slack chat, our private Slack chat for patrons, that she recently got accepted into her PhD program.
Yay!
So this is a happy birthday and a thank you to OKKK.
Doing big things over there.
We stan. Then we have Sarah, whose nickname is Saturday Night Sarah. Sarah featured us in their Black Youth Project article about sex and relationship resources for black folks. The link to that will be in the show notes. And Sarah, that's actually a play on a nickname that I have that is called Saturday Night Sam. So you and me are very connected now. Then we have good old T-Ray Ray.
Hey, coming back through.
T-Ray Ray. whose name is actually Terrell, who recently upped his pledge on Patreon again.
Wow.
For the second time. So we stan and we thank T-Ray Ray. Then we have Argent, who is Sergeant B, who became a patron. Charmaine, a.k.a. Charmizzy, who became a patron. Sid, a.k.a. Sid the Kid, who became a patron. Erlini, whose real name is Erlene, became a Patreon again. Thank you to Erlini. We have Dara, who... Okay, Dara, your nickname is D Who's D, and that is a personal inside joke.
And that's it.
Yeah.
You get nothing else.
Yeah. And I'm sorry that you probably don't understand, but it's something I really, really like. Maybe one day I'll explain the explanation.
It's a good thing.
It's a very good thing, because that's one of my favorite personal inside jokes. So D Who's D. And you gotta say it like that too. So D Who's D became a patron and purchased some merchandise. Thank you,
Yay.
D Who's D. Then we have Kayla, whose nickname is Haliak, which is actually just Kayla backwards. And that is their nickname. They also became a patron. We have Kendra Hamilton, aka Broadway K, who paid a hoe. Then we have the people who review us on Apple Podcasts. And the conundrum with that is that they are already giving nicknames. And I'm not sure when to give a nickname and when not to. So this person's name who gave us an Apple Podcast review was _0O_ _sleepy_0O.
Oh.
So it's like hard to make a nickname from that. So your nickname is Sleepy, which I think is a pretty good nickname. Yeah, in and of itself. I mean,
unless that's your real name, then I'm sorry. Then we just said Sleepy and that's it. I hope. You know what?
People do maybe be naming I was about their to say that. So that is quite possible.
After Pilot Inspector, I don't, anything's possible.
Anyway, thank you, Sleepy. And then we have Emma Easter, who I named Ema, who left an Apple podcast review. So now I am asking, in addition to giving Apple podcast reviews, if you would leave your actual name or a name that you normally go by, I will make a nickname based on that instead of like XXXYYY12345. Like, it's really hard to
You make. Gotta give her something.
I
guys.
Need something to work with to make this creative bone work. Well, thank you to all of our hosts of the week. We love you. We love your appreciation of us. We appreciate your appreciation. If you would like to be a hoe of the week and get a cool nickname of your own, here are some things that you can do. You can donate to us on PayPal at paypal.me/innerhoe. You can become a Patreon on patreon.com/innerhoeuprising. You can shout us out in an article you've written or on social media. You can leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts with your real name. Or you can purchase some merchandise at innerhoeuprising.com/merchandise, the links to which are in the shiggity shiggity show notes. And now let's talk about some events.
First, we have Pod and Live NYC. It is the largest Black podcasters meet up in the observable universe, and it's amazing. But right now it is being postponed due to concerns about the coronavirus and having large amount of folks in one space. So stay tuned for the new date.
Yes, we will come back.
We got to be safe, y'all.
Bigger and better. Yeah, we got to be safe. We got to put public health first, y'all.
Firth.
We got to put public health Colin Firth. We got to make it an English actor.
That's it.
And we got to put it first, too. Next up, we have Poly Dallas Millennium. Dallas, Texas. We're coming. We all are. Ass, all come. Friday, July 24th, 2020 to Sunday, July 26th, 2020, we will be at Poly Dallas Millennium, which is a 3-day symposium that provides a sex positive space for those seeking knowledge about ethical non-monogamy, people who have questions about ethical non-monogamy, or people who are experienced with ethical non-monogamy. It is Black, it is POC filled, it is queer, it is trans, it is non-binary, it is lit. The link to symposium tickets are in the show notes.
New York's steamiest, silliest, sexiest, smartest trivia night will be returning in the spring. Be on the lookout for details, and to be the first to know, you can sign up for email updates on our website, innerhoeuprising.com. Link will be in the show notes.
Yes, Innerhoe Uprising sex trivia will be back to you.
Yes.
Very shortly.
I know you're excited.
I'm excited.
Better see all the regulars and then some.
Yes.
Yes.
Asses in seats. That's what we like to see here. We're going into a segment that we like to call Fuck That. It is our current event segment. And this was a really tough week in the news. It was all the COVID-19 outbreak and the primaries. And I was like, damn. So this was an interesting week in terms of news. And I thought that to just like put a little light on a potentially stressful situation, that we would make fun of silly reactions from Gen Z and millennial daters about coronavirus and dating. Because I mean, sometimes awesome. People just have really silly reactions when it comes to things. And it's fun to laugh. Before we get into the silliness, I do want to give some serious reminders, because sometimes you guys show your asses. Mm-hmm. You say not so smart shit. And I don't want you to do that. So here's the serious reminders. Saying, oh, this virus only affects seniors and immunocompromised people is dismissive of people who are of those identities. Stop saying that.
Only.
Just because you are not affected by this, or you might not be negatively impacted by this, does not mean shit.
Yeah, because my immune system is crap. And every time I think about this, I'm like,
There you go. There you go. Stop being dismissive, you motherfuckers. Wearing that mask isn't going to do anything. I'll tell you why. It's because when you are adjusting that mask on your face, you're actually introducing the virus to your face. So that's why wearing that mask isn't doing anything. Those masks are for healthcare providers and people who are actually sick who don't want to spread the virus to you. Mm. Stop buying masks, because then you cause shortages of things for people. Same thing with like like alcohol pads.
Mm-hmm.
Like just washing
sanitizing wipes and stuff.
Yeah. That's for medical professionals too.
People are using that for their hands.
People are buying anything sanitary and hoarding it.
But like, wash your hands,
just wash your hands.
Yeah. Literally.
That's for like cleaning sites before injection. So don't do that. Which brings us to our next point is just like, wash your fucking hands. That's it. Our next point after that is no, do not be racist. You know, this is not the time to be racist towards anybody. The U.S. is a country where some people must pay exorbitant amount of healthcare bills if they are hospitalized with coronavirus, thus leading people to not go to the hospital if they are sick. This country is literally bad for public health. So let's think about that the next time we want to elect some public fucking officials. And now let's have a laugh. Now let's have a kiki. Okay, so shout out to Julia Reinstein for writing the article, quote unquote, Love in the Time of Coronavirus, How This Budding Pandemic is Making and Breaking Relationships. I feel like Julia's editor was just like, niggas is talking about coronavirus, niggas love sex.
Slap it together.
Make it happen. Make it happen. And Julia put her head down and she led the good fight. She led the good fight. So I'm not going to read the whole article, but I am going to read some anecdotes from the article of how people are dealing with coronavirus in regards to their sex, love, and dating lives. And I just thought that they were kind of amusing. So we have Lisa. And Lisa, before her third date with a new guy, Wednesday night, was feeling pretty nervous. The more I started to think about it, I was just kind of a bit concerned about going to a place that was crowded. And I kept thinking to myself, what if the pool sticks aren't properly sanitized and she decides to go to a restaurant in Queens instead. And I was just like, that's a very specific thought that you have.
It's so specific. What if the pool sticks?
I mean, that's where the wash your hands thing comes in.
Yeah.
Though. Like, are they ever fucking
like,
sanitized?
I'm gonna like hold these pool sticks that have literally never been cleaned. And I'm gonna then dip my hand into mozzarella sticks and make sure I lick the sauce off my fingertips.
Wow, you make a good point, because that's definitely what I actually do at
I do eat at the same time as pool halls.
Yeah,
so
that is
you
what
do
she,
think about how often know, that's in your mouth.
Lisa,
you might be onto something.
Good point. We retract the fact that that was ridiculous. Also, shout out to her for going to a restaurant in Queens instead.
True.
Queens has no corona. I'm just lying. Far Rockaway.
It's Far Rockaway, Queens.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. We're not cutting off people out of Queens. You're right. Yeah, so shout out to her for going to a restaurant in Queens. Then I wanted to insert some factuality here. So let's fact check Lisa's concern. So it may be possible that a person can get COVID-19 by touching a surface or object that has the virus on it, and then by touching their own mouth, nose, or possibly their eyes. But this is not thought to be the main way that the virus spreads.
Okay.
So you're probably not going to get it from surface contact, but it is possible. But you know, just like go to the pool hall and bring not the fucking wipes that you sanitize your skin with, but like Lysol disinfectant wipes.
Yeah.
I haven't really been in public so much recently or ever in my entire life.
I thought
life.
You were going to say ever. And I was like,
that's kind of true. But I haven't been public so much recently at the height of this.
Mm-hmm.
So I like went to one event, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. But like, I haven't been to like a bar or a pool hall, but I'm wondering if people are just like pulling out fucking disinfectant pads and just like what's
going on?
They
have them provided now.
Yeah. I don't know.
I went to this buffet that I go to pretty regularly, and as soon as I walked through the door, they were like, hand sanitizer, please. And that was never a thing.
What did the buffet think it was doing?
Oh, I don't know.
It's a buffet and other people are touching.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just thinking it was a regular restaurant, and I'm like,
are we shaking hands
with the fucking waiter? Like, leave me alone, nigga.
It's like this Jamaican American food place, like, up the block.
Okay.
It's delicious.
It's just Jamaicans being rude, though.
Yes. Yes. Wash your... Yeah, I was going to try and do a Jamaican accent, but
wash
honestly,
your blood clot hands? Is that what you're going to say?
Your bumble clot. Hands there.
Your pussy hole hands. your Ross clot hands.
Like the pussy hole.
That's what we be saying.
That is true.
All right, let's talk about Mel now. Mel is turning down invitations for drinks and dinner and just staying holed up in her apartment, and sexting is the extent of her love life now. Mel is a 41-year-old in Seattle. Mel's company has mandated that all employees work from home for a month, and she said that many other people in Seattle are doing the same thing, as well as avoiding public spaces as much as possible. So this makes sense to me because Washington is the U.S. state with the most cases of coronavirus so far at the time of this recording. And I was just thinking about how this affects people who don't work office jobs and what level of care is being taken into account for them. Like, what happens when you can't work from home?
Yeah.
What do you do? Like, what is, do we care? What's going on, guys? Do we care? I will say that hold up sexting doesn't sound like a bad time. That's usually what I'm doing in my life anyway.
Sexting in general, as a side note, I can't.
You don't sext?
No. What do you, like, you get into it, like, do you say the word cock in there or something?
Why would I ever say the word cock?
I wanted to see how far
only white people and Meg Thee Stallion say the word cock, and we know that for a fact. I'm neither of those people. Sometimes, okay, I don't actually sex that often. I thought it was just a funny joke to make.
Oh, sorry, my bad.
I am hold up.
Okay.
Sometimes I am at least flirting.
Okay.
It's interesting that Mel is sexting so much, yes, actually.
That's why I'm like, wow.
Mel's company is implementing a social distancing policy. So now I want to discuss, that's what her company is doing, just in case you were like, what is this policy?
Okay.
Now I want to discuss the differences between some of the measure used to ensure the virus stops spreading. And my source from this is the Washington Post. So we have quarantine, isolation, and social distancing, which are all different things. Quarantines are meant to restrict the movement of people who may have been exposed to contagious disease but haven't tested positive. One fun fact, or not so fun fact, I learned about quarantine recently is that people who are quarantined at home or self-quarantining are causing a spike in the number of domestic violence cases in China.
What?
Yeah. I haven't looked into this too much, so I didn't want to like fully unpack it on the episode, but I will link to the article where I saw this in the show notes for this episode. But I think when you provide more space, like if a household is abusive, a household is abusive. And if you're providing more space and time, and these are like really long amounts of time that people have been quarantined for this virus.
Like 2 weeks, three weeks. Yeah.
You're increasing the likelihood of these kinds of happening, which does suck. But more information on that in the show notes. And if you know anything about that, or know anything about like the public health of this, feel free to write into us at iitupodcast@gmail.com. Then we have isolation. So isolation is separating those with confirmed infections from the population so that they can get better without passing on the virus. So if a person's taking the test,
okay,
you isolate them for the rest of the population so that the spread doesn't continue to spread.
That's already, I'm glad this is here because I already was like, that's a quarantine. Mm-hmm. So the fact that it has its own word. Yeah.
It's two different things. Yeah. So for example, during the Ebola outbreak of, I think that was 2014, mm-hmm. they were isolating people from the rest of the population.
Oh, wow.
Because when Ebola is symptomatic, like when the symptoms of Ebola are present, it's extremely contagious.
Mm.
Yeah. And that had a really high death rate. It was like 50% of people who got
shit.
It.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Then there is social distancing. So social distancing comprises tactics people use used to separate themselves from others and reduce their risk of infection. That can mean anything from avoiding crowded events, so that's why things like South by Southwest have been canceled, and that's why like Pod and Live NYC is being postponed. So anything from avoiding crowded events to greeting friends with a nod instead of a smooch or an embrace or a handshake or anything like that.
Okay.
Yeah, so avoiding holding hands or making out with your date is considered social distancing, and that might be something you want to employ during these next few weeks or months or however long this COVID-19 outbreak lasts. Also, like, there are differences between outbreak, pandemic, and epidemic. I don't have any notes on that, but I'll leave a link in the show notes to two really cool YouTubers who I like. Their name is ASAP Science. They're actually like in a couple, they're in a relationship.
I know ASAP Science.
Yeah. I
and
like
someone
them.
Else who's the two of them for ASAP Science
are in a relationship.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, they're super cute, and they also do a podcast called Side Note, but they have a video about COVID-19, and they talk about, they have another video about pandemics versus outbreaks and epidemics and things like that. So I'll put both of that in the show notes for this episode. Personal experience. So like, I went to a podcast event recently and somebody like went in for a hug, and I was like, yeah, sure, I'll hug you back. And then they were like, oh, hugs, I'm limiting my hugs because of coronavirus or something like that. And I was like, I don't have coronavirus though. I haven't like left my house.
I'm not
in,
trying
like,
to offend
I haven't
you
actually
anything.
Left my house in 7 days, so like I know for a fact that I
so
have
you either very much have it, or like it's just in here and it lives here and I have it now.
This is
or
the
you
site.
Don't have it.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, okay, that was like kind of a weird encounter.
Yeah.
And then I met somebody else and I like went in to shake their hand, and they were like, oh, you want to shake my hand? And I was like, yeah, that's what I do when I greet people. And they were like, you know, with coronavirus, I don't know if you want to shake my hand or not or something like that. And I was just like, oh shit, people are like really This is like a real thing. Not that I didn't think that the virus was a real thing or anything like that, but I was just like, at first I was kind of like, bit weird.
Yeah.
Bit weird for you to do those things. But now, as I'm like, now it's defined as a public state of emergency, and thinking like, I don't really know too much about those people, so they actually themselves could have been immunocompromised. Yeah. Yeah. Or like, had children at home. Yeah. Or although children are actually like not getting as yeah. sick as coronavirus, but maybe they had like older folks at home or people who are immunocompromised at home.
A right to protect themselves.
Yeah. And then just also like the normalcy or the
that's what exactly yeah, I was about
the
to
normalcy
say.
Of public greetings without like, I won't touch somebody, but I will like open my arms yeah. for a hug. With hugs, usually I just say hugs now. And I learned that from way back. But with handshakes, I'll extend my hand for a hand. I'm not going to grab your hand, but I will extend my hand for a hand.
Just like not a stretch at all. Give me that
motherfucking hand. Give me that motherfucking hand. But like even doing that is putting someone in a position that they might have not wanted to do. And yeah. now they feel socially obligated to do so.
Yeah.
So at first I was like, you all niggas is weird. Yeah. But now I'm like, okay, I won't do this anymore.
Yeah.
Especially now.
I don't know how numb or how I've gotten this numb to the coronavirus, but like, I guess because I'm like, oh, we've made it through Ebola and swine
flu. I mean, Ebola
flu.
Wasn't here though.
I know.
Yeah.
Swine flu, that was here, right?
Is that H1N1?
Yes.
Yeah, it was.
So I was like, all those things, and granted, I think I SARS. Took them seriously at one point. Yeah, SARS. I think I took them seriously, but after a while, you're just kind of like, eh.
Yeah, I'm numb to it too, in that I, when it comes to my actual self, me as a person, I'm not scared.
Okay.
Like, of what it will do to me.
Okay.
I do have concerns about other people in yeah. my life, and that's like, that'll be the thing that keeps me up at night.
But you feel like you're good if it ever comes down to you.
And I do feel like I'll probably be okay just from like the statistics and things like that. But I will say that just because I'm not personally scared for myself doesn't mean I have to like be a dick about
yeah.
it or not take public health into account. So like a lot of the things, like I'm not a people person at all, but I
like
really,
that you laughed in the middle of that. Like,
it's
yeah,
true. I'm not a people person, but I do actually really care about the greater good for all people
yes.
and like all of my politics. Like I'm going to vote a particular way because I think this is the best thing for all people.
Yeah.
I'm going to fucking compost and like light my house less yeah. and things like that because I think that's the greater good for all people. Even if it's like not big, like I can't stop the spread of this any particular way other than like political impact, but what I can do is like practice social distancing or like support Queen and Jay for being like, oh, maybe we shouldn't hold this event
yeah.
at this time, or not force people to fucking like shake my hand or anything like that.
Like, dead ass,
even,
bro.
Even if they like feel uncomfortable, because even though I'm not particularly anxious about it, if you're anxious about it and you have like a sick grandma at home
yeah.
and you don't want to fucking bring a virus, like, why did you want to shake my hand? You actually don't know me. You don't know that I haven't left the house for 7 days. I might, to you, I might, in your opinion, I might have coronavirus. So one,
yeah.
I don't want to continue the spread of the virus. But two, I also don't want to like make anybody feel uncomfortable
True.
Or anything like that. I also don't want to perpetuate racism and stigma and other things. So I'm just trying to be the best fucking person that I can be in this situation, which includes making y'all niggas laugh at fucking these people. All right. Then we have Tinder. So we
Ooh.
Got these apps who are also like, you know, being influenced by the COVID-19 outbreak. So recently, Tinder sent out a message to all users saying that they should, quote unquote, maintain social distance in public gatherings,
really?
Which is them saying like
yeah.
social distancing is a thing. Yeah, that happened.
Even on dating apps. Well, it makes sense because you're meeting so many, if you're successful,
yeah.
meeting a lot of new people.
Yeah.
You're going into, usually you're in a public space because
mm-hmm.
I don't want a stranger at my house.
No.
So it's good on them to address that just
yeah.
because that's the platform and what people
yeah.
use it for.
I think like going back to the thing that you said about like H1N1 and SARS
mm-hmm.
is that this is the first outbreak in the era of social media.
Okay.
So there's that. And then I believe I might have seen this in the ASAP Science video, but I think this is the first time that we've seen an outbreak before it became a pandemic or
yeah.
something along that nature. So like H1N1,
by
the time we knew that it was a thing, a lot of people had already traveled a lot of different places.
Yeah.
So things like this are just like putting the preemptive ness on it.
Yeah.
So like canceling huge conferences ahead of time before all these people start
yeah.
to like spread disease and things like that. So like Tinder didn't even exist fucking 10 years ago, but then
Damn.
also, yeah,
did it?
2012.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
So Tinder did not exist 10 years ago. Wow. So there was no space for a dating app to even say anything like that. So everybody's just trying to like do their, I think people are just trying to do their fucking personal responsibility. So if your personal responsibility is like reminding people what to do during an outbreak, then sure. But when we do see things like that and we haven't seen things like that 10 years ago, it creates this kind of like, should I be more scared than I was ever before?
It's just a panic, but on a more like small, not smaller scale, but more like, I guess when you're watching the swine flu, you watch the news, like an H1N1, the news, and you're kind of removed from it. Everyone's just like, you know, I don't know, but it's everywhere. Like you're constantly,
this is also the
24
hour news cycle era. Yes. So that also, that does influence it for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we have the Jewish dating app JWed.
I don't know why I'm laughing.
What, because it's called JWed?
I don't like that name at all.
Love it. I don't love it. I'll be real.
JWed.
Jewish people? JWed. This is not from the article, but this is also something that I came across from. Put this article in the newsletter if you are signed up for that. So JWed is implementing a virtual dating initiative that will offer a suite of features, including a video chat and a date scheduler to simulate in-person dates with JWed users anywhere around the world.
Okay.
JWed CEO Ben Rabizadeh said, "We envision a virtual dating experience that mirrors the authenticity of a night out in Central Park. Daters will still dress up, have stimulating conversations, and engage in the same witty banter that they'd expect on an in-person date. The only difference will be the screen between them."
This is some Black Mirror shit.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, this is like very futuristic. I can see this being a thing. I can see, like, why not?
Yeah.
Love is Blind, even though they, like,
it reminds me of the pods. It's like, it does kind of remind me of the pods. Yeah.
So I can see
the circle.
This. Yeah.
It's very the circle. Yeah. I liked it. I was talking to this guy, and I was just like, as I was writing the newsletter, I was like sending him links or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's like, so basically, this is like FaceTime with some shrubs. And I think he was like being funny or whatever. And I gave him an LOL. Sure, why not? But the more I started to think about it, I think it's not that. And I appreciate things like this for being not that. Because it's like you can FaceTime someone, sure. But like there's this, like you're FaceTiming. But let's say you're like immobile or something like that, or you don't have time to like make your space all nice or do these things that you typically expect with a date. So like this service is like literally doing, like it's creating an atmosphere. Yeah. It's creating a vibe.
I can see like a little fake table between the two of
that's
us and
cute.
The screen. I'm like,
I'm sure it'll look a little bit janky at first because we're not there in terms of augmented reality yet. But I think it's pretty cute. And then also, you don't always want to give someone your number or give someone your WhatsApp or your Facebook or something like that. So
you can tell
the capability
chemistry.
To still do this in the date, in the dating app without like revealing your personal information.
Shout out to them.
Yeah.
JWed. Bring that technology over to, you know, us non-Jewish people over here.
Yeah, but I think this is good for people who aren't mobile, people who are agoraphobic, people who are internationally dating.
Oh.
Who else was I thinking
That would be
about?
Good for a long distance type of
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to JWed for this. Ahead of the curve.
I know.
Then we got Amanda, who is a 23-year-old in New York City. She was quarantined a few weeks ago after returning from a trip to China.
Damn.
She says it was a boring, lonely time, so she took the apps. After the 5-day period when most infected people show symptoms, Amanda was still feeling healthy, so she broke her quarantine and actually went on a date.
Oh, wow.
At the end of the date, there was no kiss. She said partially because she knew it could hold a slight risk, but mostly because she wasn't feeling it. The date was really bad, but that was irrelevant to the coronavirus. And I thought that was really fucking funny. And I felt bad for her a little bit because she's like missed human connection.
Yeah.
And the first date is just like trash ass.
Like, why did I even leave my quarantine home?
Exactly.
I just want to go back in there where no one can come in or out.
Then we have Ocean, who is a motherfucker I don't like. Ocean is an 18-year-old from Cambridge, England, who told BuzzFeed News that he lied to a few people on Grindr about having flu-like symptoms because he decided he didn't feel like meeting up after all.
You see, and then you make light of situations.
Exactly.
Where it's like, what?
Exactly. I don't like that. Niggas is actually sick. And then just like, fuck you. I just like honesty.
Yeah.
And I don't like this kid.
Like, I don't want to hang out with you. LOL, I have the coronavirus. My bad.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Or I'm feeling a little coronavirus-y or something like that. And then somebody's like looking at Cambridge, England. Like, I just don't like it. I don't like misinformation.
Yep.
Fuck you, Ocean. So he says, and I quote, don't want to put anything at risk just because I wanted to get digged down. He recalled messaging one guy. Hate this kid, son. It's less awkward than trying to tell a horny guy I'm not really in the mood to walk 2 miles to your house. You should tell people when you're not interested in them. Just say it. And this is not even the kind of situation where it's like you're in person and you're fearing for your life or anything like that, or you're afraid of what rejection might cause. Like, normalize not wanting people.
It's less awkward than trying to tell a horny guy I'm not in the mood to walk 2 miles. So it's more awkward to say
that you have the coronavirus
than it is to just say, I have the coronavirus.
Right.
Sorry, you can't hang out, maybe next week.
Just like normalize telling people that you're not interested
in truth.
What's wrong with that?
Normalize actually communicating with people.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know. And then to use this lie, I don't know. It's the same thing with people who use, like for work or any excuse to get out of something, who use like bad things. Like, my grandmother's really sick and she's in the hospital. Like, bro. I like desperate times, sure, but like, either be honest or just like come up with something way less extreme.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do. Yeah,
and
why
this
does
is
it
the
have to
most
be that?
Extreme.
Yeah, and you're like, I just feel like you're perpetuating hysteria a little bit.
Yep.
You're perpetuating hysteria because you are not sick and people are actually sick and you're telling people that you don't know.
To get out of fucking a horny dude who's 2 miles
away. Fuck you, man. Fuck you. And then why are you walking 2 miles to the house? Get a fucking Uber, nigga. Get a fucking
That's a
Uber.
Fact.
I think it's because they're 18 and they're just like not fully there yet, but like still. Fuck you. Because if you were my younger brother, I would say fuck you. I just hate him. Anyway, sorry.
Okay.
This is like something personal this now.
I just hate everyone. Specifically Ocean. Let's get into it.
Then we have the new bio. So this is a direct quote from the article. Much like tacos, the office, and pictures of sedated tigers, the coronavirus has become a widespread reference in Tinder bios. I just want to say I hate when people put that they're fans of The Office in their fucking bios. You're all fans of The Office.
Everyone is the fan of
The
Office.
It was one of the best shows of the last decade.
It's
a given.
You can jump in, jump out.
It's a given.
You're having a good
time. That's not a fucking personality trait.
It's like asking people, do you like music? At this point, you're being a dick.
Exactly.
Who doesn't?
Hate it. To me, that says you don't like anything else.
Yeah.
And that's kind of disturbing to me.
Imagine
that means
like,
you actually have no personality. You fuckers. Also, the people who put, I didn't like the last season of Game of Thrones in their bio. Nobody did. Fuck
no
you.
Nobody did. Again.
The niggas didn't even like it. The niggas who did it didn't even like it, son.
They abandoned that show.
It was literally
then
a petition of 1 million people who said they did not like it. So why are you putting that in your bio?
Because you're original.
Anyway, here's somebody's bio. I have Disney Plus and snacks to quarantine for coronavirus. Read one bio viewed by BuzzFeed News in New York City. Another one read, let's grab drinks before we all get coronavirus, alongside an emoji of clinking champagne glasses. Then we have a quote from Josh Munzenreiter, who said, a coronavirus joke is my attempt to stand out a little bit. And I definitely think that's helped somewhat. I've gotten some better matches since I've added it to my profile, which was only yesterday. And I would like you, Rodeca, to click that link because that is his bio.
Here for cuffing season part 2, coronavirus edition.
The fact that that helped him, you know? The fact that that actually worked. But you know why nothing else was working before? Because this is a shitty picture, Josh.
It's not a good time. There's someone's half blonde tresses in
and
the corner.
And a boob. There's
a
two
boob.
Boobs in it.
Clearly
who are cut
you were
out.
In a relationship photo at one point. And you're letting us know.
He's in a picture
no longer
with his girlfriend and a dog child.
This
and all
is
he did
their
was
family
crop
photo.
Out. He cropped out his girlfriend and now he's trying to get some ass on
you
Tinder.
Could have easily just put your arm up and snap the photo of yourself in that moment.
Red flags, though. Those are the people we swipe left on. Last but not least, our anecdote is from Sammy, a 25-year-old in New York. Sammy's anecdote is about finding true love. Sammy told BuzzFeed News how the illness directly led to her winding up in a relationship this week.
Mm.
Basically, me and this guy had been hooking up for like a year, off and on. And on Wednesday, we met up for drinks and he was like, oh, by the way, I think we should talk about maybe not seeing other people anymore. I was like, whoa, where is this coming from? She said. And he was like, well, I've been thinking a lot about it because I've been working from home because of the corona threat. And they said to limit your exposure to other people. And I just that pissed me off. This whole article pissed me off. But that pissed me off.
I'm ready to settle down now because that coronavirus shit is, it's a little scary.
I would have to smack you in your face.
Like, what?
I would have to smack you in your face. And why did he have to say it like that? See, I just feel like I'm a real big fan of, like, honesty.
Yeah.
So instead of, oh, I maybe think we should stop seeing other people, like, you know, corona is kind of scary to me. And I'm going to social distance myself from folks. And as the person who I enjoy having sex with right now, I'm interested in knowing if you would also like to social distance just yourself from folks. Up, that is not honest, being in a relationship.
Open communication. Yeah.
Say what you actually want, not let's be exclusive. Because of the coro-ro.
Oh, we got married because, you know, the world was going to end, so we figured, fuck it, right?
Imagine telling that story to your fucking kids. All right. Once again, thank you to Julia for writing this article. What are you all thinking listening to this? Has the coronavirus affected you, affected the way that you interact with the world?
Mm-hmm.
Are you less likely to go on a date because of coronavirus? Would you positively respond to a coronavirus reference in a dating app bio?
Would you sneak out of your quarantine home to go on a date with someone?
Would you lie about having coronavirus to get out of getting some dick?
All the things. Which one are you like, yeah, I would definitely do that. They're not bugging. And, you know, there'll be someone. So I'm waiting.
People who are listening to this who are older or immunocompromised or live with someone or are in close interaction with someone who is older or immunocompromised, how are you navigating sex, love, and dating amidst the outbreak? That's what I really want to know.
Yeah.
I really want to know from, like, the real niggas out here. And also, one last tidbit in case you were wondering, can the coronavirus be spread through sex? Experts say it's too soon to tell if coronavirus can be sexually transmitted. Mm. But if you are touching and kissing someone who has the coronavirus, you're probably going to get it anyway.
Yeah,
unless you're
like,
just like
I don't think
not kissing or touching during sex.
Yeah, I don't think it has to be like a general thing. It's just like you're very close.
You're extremely close. You're extremely close.
It's kind of unavoidable when you're having sex.
Yeah, but some people were asking that question because it's in a lot of articles.
Mm, okay.
Or maybe nobody was asking and the editor once again was just like, sex, coronavirus,
by
make
the way,
it happen.
I know you're thinking about it. You can't get it from the sex.
The sex. All right. Life is a little fucking zany, isn't it? This week in particular, I felt like, yo, what the fuck is going on? Between current events, personal news, love lives, jobs, bills, it can be hard to get a handle on things and sort through how you're feeling. And something that really helps me along the way is one of my favorite online services, BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start communicating in under 24 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's counselor network, which may not be locally available in many areas. BetterHelp is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account at any time and send your counselor a message. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. When I talk to my BetterHelp counselor, I literally get in my bed or on the couch with a fuzzy blanket and a snack, and I always think, wow, this is the ideal way to sort through my shit, my bullshit, and my good shit. The most recent session I had with my counselor, she reminded me of when we first began, and she was like, man, remember when you were on some old bullshit, and you see how you off that bullshit and on some good shit now? I'm proud of you, sis. So obviously that's not an exact quote, but we both can really see the progress I've made, and I really appreciate her and the service for helping me in my journey towards becoming peak Samantha, which is the greatest Samantha there can ever be. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today, and as do we at the Inner Hoe Uprising, so you can visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily. And you can visit betterhelp.com/IHU, that's better, H-E-L-P, and join the over 700,000 people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. And we have a special offer for Inner Hoe Uprising listeners. You can get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/IHU. Once again, you as Inner Hoe Uprising listeners can get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/IHU. That's better, HELP.com/I as in inner, H as in Hoe, U as in Uprising, the link to which will be in the show notes for this episode. Now let's get back to the show. All right. We have an update on politics, which is the mini segment where I run down One of the 2020 presidential candidates' platform as it pertains to sex, gender, sexuality, reproductive rights, race, etc. This typically included candidates who have dropped out because those people might be on a VP ticket. So we were actually in the middle of a series on Elizabeth Warren, but then she actually just dropped out of the race. So damn, sis. For the sake of the show, for the sake of Inner Hope Rising, you could have stayed in there a little bit
Come
longer.
Come on. Just one more.
Just do it.
We just wanted to talk about you, man.
Yeah, so she's yet to endorse anyone. So I'm kind of just sitting and waiting to see what happens next before resuming this segment, because I think that kind of plays into who, since she was the most liked candidate, it would be natural to go to whoever she endorses next. Yeah. And there's like a whole shit show with that. But this is not a politics show, so I'm not talking about that. Maybe going forward, I might choose a policy point a week and compare Bernie and Biden, who are the two frontrunners in this race so far. And then just throw in Tulsi Gabbard for no reason, because she's just there, like floating around.
Chilling on the side.
Yeah. No, I'm not doing that. Just kidding. I'm not including her. But let me know if that's something you all are interested in on social media or via email or on Patreon. I'll probably do another Patreon poll. That's a party on the weekend. That's a party on the weekend. All right, let's get into our next segment, which is called Fuck Me. It is the segment about our sexual, romantic, and dating lives.
Update, y'all. Kind of went through a couple of different scenarios in my head, and I was like, you know, I think I really want to try being polyamorous, but like officially. I guess before it was just kind of like, oh, you know, we'll get there when we get there. And I've had like two partners already say like, oh, we'll be monogamous at first and then like we'll see afterwards, which I get in theory, but it's also like if you're gonna be poly, like you don't necessarily have to do things you with don't. People. Like if we're saying this is what our intention is, we can just say that's who we are. And like when we're ready to do stuff, we're ready to do it. So I had a conversation with my primary partner, Chris. Shout outs to you, bro. And we had we have our monthly meetings, and I kind of just laid it all down because I have been very, very much leaning into being queer and just like not being attracted to cishet men.
They're ugly and they stink.
Yeah, they both. Yeah, it's like you can't refute that. But also, I guess like I never in my life before this show, before this era, was even thinking about looking at other people other than like a crush or anything like that. And now that it's developed to where I'm obviously like looking on the train and I'm like, I'm not looking at any niggas other than these baddies here, okay? Mm-hmm. These femmes, all of it. Like, but I obviously have to have a conversation because these cishet men, and I'm like,
you're not cool. Doing it for me.
I'm like, you're cool and you are doing it for me to that extent, but like, if we're gonna be honest with ourselves and all the things that we want to do, you can never be anything other than a cishet man. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it was just like, I need to be able to explore that. And he laughed, and it was very funny. He laughed because he was just like, oh, I feel like a parent who's like, their kid is coming out to them, and their response is duh. So he was just like, no, you're good. Like, don't wait. Like, that's something that we were going to do anyway. So now that it's official, we can have that conversation. So we have been on dating apps now. And that's just an interesting space to navigate. Mm-hmm. You think to you, not that I guess I was naive enough to think that like, oh, it'll be different and like in dating and more interesting and more like from the gate, just be like, ah, everyone's just down to be poly and this, that, and forth. But it's a lot more complicated. Like when you're single, you're on there and you got to wade through bullshit, but you do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. And now for the first time, I'm like, there's a specific option on OkCupid where it's like, I don't want to see or be seen by people who are not queer, mm-hmm. like by straight men, I think, mm-hmm. those or straight people in general. And like, it's not that I feel like I have to work for it more. I'm just not used to like having to approach other people mm-hmm. when I feel like most of the time it was just like mad niggas just like saying random shit. Like it was trash, but at least I guess I felt wanted more.
Okay.
And in this sense, like being poly and having him on my profile and, you know, like I have this partner, this is the situation. And then I'm looking to people and all I see is like, oh, no couples. Da-da-da. I'm like, it's not, we're not doing it together. Well, we could do together, but it's mainly separate. But it's like, I didn't realize that there was like a whole nother world on the other side. And it's not much better or much easier. I think that's what I'm, I think it's better because I'm being honest with myself and I feel like I'm doing what I want to do, but it's tough. And he had his first date on Thursday with somebody that I thought was gorgeous, but like they were like, oh, you know, both of you guys are cute, but they were interested in Chris, which makes sense. I guess another thing, it was just like me trying to figure out, do I want to do this together, separate? And I took his moment of like getting a date with someone that I thought was attractive, like kind of as a rejection of me, even though we weren't, I never spoke to the person. I was just like, damn, clearly I'm not like doing it as well, or people aren't really interested in me, especially women or femmes or anything like that, where I'm just not a straight man. I'm not used to like having that space explored. So I was very vulnerable. I felt very like rejected, and sometimes I'm doubtful that it's something that I want to do. So when you take that step forward and you're like, man, this could be shitty. It's not. It hasn't been shitty for anything other than human shit. Like, it's not like it's not something I don't want. It's just been like, damn, okay.
Rejection is a part rejection, of dating.
Exactly. Yeah. Jealousy to a fault where it's just like, damn, now I got to share my time with you with another person, which is healthy. But at the same time, it's like, damn, you know, maybe I just wanted to chill. I got to. It's basically like learning how to date all over again in a completely different way.
Yeah.
And I joined a couple of support groups on Facebook just to hear things from people, Black specific ones. I'm out here. Hit me on my line if you're down. Look at Sam's face.
Okay.
No.
I do not approve of listener and that. Host fraternization. Don't call me out for a post fraternization that I have done. I'm off that. Don't hit me up. Don't DM me.
Don't DM me.
You can either. DM all of them, though. But I do not approve of it at the end of the day. You all know that. All right.
Oh, gay parties is where I feel the most alive. I only like to go to queer parties now. Mm-hmm. It's such a good vibe. And I just feel like I'm getting gayer by the month, and it's just great.
Nice.
It's a good time.
It's an interesting metric, by the month. By the not month, by the day, not by the by second. The month, by the
because,
month.
Because I went to one recently, and I was able to, like, not able to, but I was, like, looking at people, and I was just like, yo, let me get your number. And I was like, who is this?
Me? That's why you feel
yeah,
alive.
Yeah, and I cool. it's never been a thing, but I feel very liberated. So it's been a good time.
What was the one you went to recently?
Basically, it's a Ratchet Realm, and the proceeds go for gender-affirming surgery. For
oh,
trans
that's really
people.
Nice.
So it's good to go there and like dance and meet people, but also doing it for a good cause. And everyone's really attractive when you go there. So I was just like, I was looking around and I was like, wow, this is a dream, honestly. So it was a good time.
I'll put the link for the party in the show notes. Thank you, Rebecca. All right. Next up, we got the How Samantha Got Her Groove Back Challenge, in which I go on a date every week and report back to you how it is. Last season, I gave you cute dates. This season, you give me some control where I go on these dates. Let's get my groove back together. On this past week's date, I went on a Women's History Month tour with Akua.
Aww.
If you've never listened to the show before, Akua is another one of our co-hosts. The tour was through the good old New York City Parks Department, and I've stanned these niggas before, and I will stand these niggas again. It's just the Parks Department throwing free things for everybody to go to. You can just go to this shit. Like, all you niggas talking about, oh, I don't want to pay no fucking $200 for a date. I don't want to pay no fucking $77 for... You can pay $0 for a date with, like, your taxes. Because I'm pretty sure that's how they are funded. So this thing was, like... Honestly, it was touted as like a tour about notable women in Queens.
Okay.
And it was not that at all, but sure, fine. It more so became like a tour. It wasn't really a tour. It was like an outdoor event.
Mm-hmm.
An outdoor lecture interactive event about women's monuments in New York City.
Wow.
And
I, wow.
Have you ever seen
no.
one? So when we met up in Astoria at Athens Square Park, and there's a monument of Athena, but like
okay.
Athena was not a real bitch.
Okay.
Nobody follows Greek mythology anymore, so I can say that without disrespecting somebody's religion.
Someone's just waking up like, what?
Athena is my bitch.
That is my goddess.
Yeah. There's another one in Queens. I think it's in Far Rock, where it's called the Dough Girl. There's a doughboy statue who represents, it's just a fucking drug dealer. Now, it represents all men who fought in all wars, all American wars.
Okay.
And then to that, somebody was like, you know, women be fighting in wars too. So somebody made a Doe Girl statue and they positioned the city to have the Doe Girl next to the Doe Boy. And I think the New York City Parks and Restoration Committee or something like that was like, this statue isn't artistic enough, so we won't be putting it up here. So they actually have it across the street. And the community, like in Far Rock, was like, well, we still love the Doe Girl statue. But yeah, she can't be next to the nigga because even fucking monuments are subject to sexism, unfortunately. Isn't that sad?
The world we live in.
But then we learned, well, I learned them something. I was like, well, it might not be a fucking monument, but this black tennis player, this great black tennis player named Althea Gibbs, who played tennis in the 1950s, has a bust and it's in Arthur Ashe Stadium, niggas. Ooh. And they were like, oh, we didn't know that. Thank you. And I was like, oh, sorry for being so defensive. No,
I wasn't that defensive. Sam's in there like, wait a minute. Did you intentionally?
Next to that bitch, all right? You be playing tennis out here, nigga.
They're like eternally grateful to you for the information. Like, thank you so
I'll
much.
Include that on the next tour.
You're like, yeah.
Yeah, niggas.
I fucking thought.
Oh, it was also all women park rangers who hosted it, which was really nice. Then at one point they gave us clay and they were like, make your own monument. Isn't that fun?
That's cute.
Isn't that fun?
I think like when we're kids or younger, we do a lot of like play-based activities.
And then it just stops. And then you're like, where's the crayons,
nigga? Wants to do stuff. That's why, again, like...
That's why niggas do the fucking shit out of paint and sips.
Yeah, because you're having a good time.
You're having a great time.
I'm creative. I like this.
Oh, speaking of paint and sips, and I'll put a link to what New York City Park Department is doing in general, but they're doing a fucking paint and sip for free.
What?
I think it's a BYOB, but like, that's fun.
When's that?
2 weeks from now or at the end of the month.
I'm down to
go. And they also have like a graffiti... They have a opening show of a women's graffiti thing in the Bronx, and they have a closing show of that. It's just nice. Go to this shit, man, if you live in New York City. Come on. There'd be like, I go to these things, and there's like four people there, and half of them are kids. And it's like, you feel uncomfortable as like a 27-year-old next to a bunch of like 5-year-olds, but like, these kids don't know nothing about a fucking Althea Gibbs. Like, it's information for everybody. So we did the clay thing. We wrote haikus together.
What?
Inspired by women's history. And then lastly, we learned about this initiative that was created by our mayor here is Bill de Blasio. His wife is a black woman named Shirlane McRae. She started this initiative to install monuments of women in all 5 boroughs.
Good.
So Queens is getting Billie Holiday because she grew up in Queens. She grew up in St. Albans.
Wow.
Brooklyn is getting Shirley Chisholm, who is born
that's my Brooklyn image.
Yeah. Manhattan is getting Sylvia Rivera and Marsha P. Johnson, and also getting Elizabeth Jennings Graham, who was basically like a Rosa Parks of the streetcar era. So I think it was in 1854, New York City streetcars were segregated.
Okay.
And she just sat her ass up in the fucking whites only section and was like, and what about it? And what the fuck about it?
Exactly.
And now she's getting a statue at, I think, Grand Central Terminal, which is like so. Yeah, I love that shit. Bronx is getting someone named Helen Rodriguez Tria. I think that's her name.
Okay.
She's obviously a Latinx woman, and she advocated for like back in the day when niggas was just wilding in regards to medicine and like subjugated people or marginalized people for sterilizations of black and brown communities and things like that. She opened up a whole bunch of departments that advocated for like POC health and specifically POC women's health.
Yeah.
So she's going up in the Bronx, and then Staten Island is getting a woman named Catherine Walker. And I thought it was so cool that all of these places had women of color. But I think that's...
Is Catherine the first white one?
She's German American, just like very classic Staten Island. But her thing was that she was a lighthouse keeper, and lighthouses apparently are like super important to New York City because of the harbor. We have a lot of maritime things here, and we did at that time. So she was like one of the first and only at the time women lighthouse keepers.
Wow.
Which is like amazing. And she was a widow, so she didn't have anybody to take care of her, to take care of her children with her. And to take her children to school, because they lived on a fucking lighthouse, she would row those motherfuckers to school back and forth every day. So I think the Staten Island person is cool, but like she's the only white person. And I'm like, oh, that's funny, because Staten Island at the end of the day always hates us.
It's true.
And we hate you motherfuckers too.
No one likes you.
Except for the black people in Staten Island. Except for the people of color in Staten Island.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was really fun.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
And now I'm like...
feel enriched.
Yeah. It's good to have an activity that's also, like I said, fun. Mm-hmm. You get to do some stuff, but you come back like better.
Yeah.
Learning shit.
Yeah.
Empowered.
Yeah. I did feel empowered.
That's a fucking great date if I've ever seen one.
That was good. And then me and Akua got Indian food, as me and Akua always do, because we both love Indian food. Yeah. I will put the link for the New York City Parks Department in the show notes. Is your sex toy collection looking a little dry? We've got just the goodie bag to get those juices flowing. Your favorite queer, black, feminist podcasters, Inner Ho Uprising, are teaming up with the sex toy boutique, Babeland, to give a sexy goodie bag, aka a hoe bag, to one lucky winner. How do I win, you might be asking? Well, you can head over to innerhouseuprising.com/hoebagsweepstakes and sign up for our weekly newsletter, or you can click the link in our show notes, and that's it. You're actually winning twice, because the newsletter is a goodie bag in and of itself filled with sex-positive content from four black baddies with tips and tricks on how to have a fulfilling, shame-free sex life. It's just like stuff that isn't on the show. Like, the show is jam-packed already. All that extra shit goes in the fucking newsletter. You should definitely check it out. Entrance must be 18 and older to play. Sorry to the ute dem, but if you still want to sign up for the newsletter, that's fine. Just don't do it on that page, though. Please do it on the homepage. And the winner will be selected from a list of entrants at random on April 2nd. When the winner is chosen, they'll be asked to verify their age by Inner Ho Uprising before the prize is shipped. Now we're getting into our last segment of the day, and it is called Fuck You, the segment about your sex, love, and dating lives. If you would like to ask us for some advice, share your hotels, or rant against the white cishet patriarchy, you can send your thoughts to iisupodcast@gmail.com. You can also rant against the white, you can rant against the cishet, and you can rant against the patriarchy. Like, all you don't have treat. To do it all together. You can pick different things out of that. Please send your thoughts to iichupodcast@gmail.com. Please include your pronouns. Also, because we are in the future, you can leave us a voicemail and we will play it and respond to it on the show. You can drop us a line at 404-491-9158. That number is in the show notes. And for our first letter, we have...
what?
Our very first voicemail.
Finally.
This call is from Big Fan of the Show, and their pronouns are they, them. The subject matter is open marriage discomfort.
I'm genderqueer and pansexual. I am 33 and married. And that kind of brings me to my question. So in my marriage, we're both pretty open. As far as relating with other people, whether that's dating or swinging, we've definitely discussed polyamory and we're both open to it, I think, philosophically. But my problem is this. When it comes time to start looking for potential partners, potential people that we want to start dealing with, whenever it's my husband who sort of initiates that process, I find that I'm not able to connect with the person, and I've found that I'm able to develop better connections with the people who I initiate the process with, whether that's because I have a better rapport with them or what have you. And I'm just wondering, like, if y'all can sound off and tell me, is that a normal feeling to have? Like, should I be more comfortable just because I'm the person who's, like, talked to someone and met someone first? Or am I being weird and, like, do I need to, like, get rid of a mental block somehow? Anyway, again, I'm a big fan of the show. I love what y'all do. And I don't know if I'm your first voicemail. I think it's a good idea. And thank you for your time.
You are our first voicemail. We appreciate it. Love you.
We appreciate and love you.
From what I'm hearing, I don't think that that's unreasonable. I think it's...
I don't think it's abnormal.
I don't think it's abnormal or anything like that. Just because some people don't... If you're getting set up, it's like being set up for a date, right? Mm-hmm. Like, just because your husband likes that person and just because, like, they have a rapport, you don't necessarily have to just be able to just, like, slide in and, hey, we're
you
friends
and your
now.
Husband are not the same person.
Yeah. In a similar situation with me, I've had my partner, like, bring up people that they've done stuff with or just, like, oh, have you ever thought about this person that I know? Are they attractive? Et cetera, et cetera. And I was just like, ugh. Like in my head, I was just like, I want to like start new connections or like it just because it's just I kind of get not weird. But for me, it could just be like, I don't know where this left off. I don't know what you guys are doing or what your relationship is. Sometimes for me, it's just like that excitement of meeting a new person. And this is for me and this is our situation. Maybe that's what you prefer. You just like to have that connection with someone yourself and they like you for you. And if they like your husband so well, or this, that, and the fourth, you don't have to like the same people your husband likes. Mm-hmm. It's just not realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's hard to like people in the first place.
Yes.
So then like liking somebody off of someone else's word is a little bit, And it's just weird. It's just like, it's not weird, the concept of this or anything like that. Obviously, we're all polyamorous ass bitches, or a lot of us are. But you're kind of just like walking into a situation that they had already established
their
rapport, and you don't have that rapport. Well, I don't know what exactly, would you say? We've discussed polyamory and we're open to it. I don't know in what ways you're looking to explore polyamory. So it seems like you're kind of doing it from this, like you're looking for other people to bring into your relationship. And if that is what you're doing, I would say... a next step, like you don't feel connected with this person. I don't know if you are all trying to connect together as the three of you, but it might be beneficial for you and this new person to just have some one-on-one time, some alone time where you're chatting without your husband, where you can get to know these people and build up your own rapport with these people. Because a triad, at the very least, and all polyamorous relationships, when we use triad for the sake of example, is like several relationships. So it's like you and this new person, you and your husband and this new person, and all of you together.
Yes.
So there's actually four relationships going on, and you have to nurture all of those relationships in different ways. So you just nurturing that with your husband there isn't really doing enough to nurture the whole situation.
I would say just because you did feel like it was specific to when your husband brings someone,
try it the other way.
Yeah, exactly. It could also be that there is a slight mental thing, because if it's you like the person otherwise, but it's just because the fact that your husband brought them in, that could just be like a apprehensiveness that you might have to like discuss. Because if it's like, oh, otherwise I would have liked this person, but it was your guy, so I don't really want them, then that's like, I don't know where that might be coming from, and you might have to explore that. But if it's just like you just so happen not to like the same people that he does, it happens.
And then also, I'm sure that you know this, but if anybody's listening or anything like that, maybe it's worth like exploring different kinds of poly dynamics. And that might include dating different people than your husband who's trying to date, because you know he might be like, polyamory is all about like getting fulfilled in different ways in different spaces. Maybe the same type of people don't fulfill you guys. All things to think about. Give us an update, let us know how it's going. In the intro, I wrote that this is like, if you don't fucking like the person, that I don't think that that's what you're actually doing here. That was just an intro joke. So I'm not saying that you hate the people who your husband is initiating with. Just want people to listen to the show. All right. We have another letter, snail mail. This was mailed into us.
Whoa. No, I'm just kidding. I looked at you like, excuse me?
This is not mailed into us.
Wow.
That would be interesting, though. No, this is just regular old email. The old wave, the old technology, even though voicemail came out before email. Anyway, subjects of this is Love and 52, and this is by the Mel Lady, who is a patron on Patreon. Shout out to Mel Lady, a.k.a. Malini. That's my bitch. So Malini writes, hi there. I really enjoy your podcast and the other BBB podcasts. I met at Pod and Live NYC 19. You guys are bomb. Thank you, Malini.
Thanks.
So problem is, I'm usually considered to be too old to be taking advice from your age groups, but you all explore all the things a woman needs to be safe, healthy, and satisfied, even if she's single.
We be trying out here.
We do.
We be trying out here.
Because we in the trenches too, okay?
That's a fact.
Oh, boy. I've not heard any podcasts or media or any kind in my age group talk openly about sex and a woman's body like your podcast. The episode about sitting on faces was not only hilarious, but informative. That style is something I look forward to trying. Whenever I find that. Whenever I find that next companion.
I love the way that was written.
Yeah, that style. Yeah, that good old face in style.
I think I'm going to try that.
Yeah, I like that too. Being 52 and not having friends that like to talk about sex openly because they're too busy saying ew to everything can be very isolating. My one girlfriend looked over my shoulder and saw a Twitter post of a guy eating a girl's butthole, and she just went on a rant about how she wouldn't kiss her husband if he tried to eat her butt. And I'm like, so your booty is dirty then? Good comeback, Malini.
You're great.
Good comeback.
You're fucking hilarious. So your ass be dirty then.
And that's a valid observation. It's a good point. Call out your friends for not fucking yes. wiping their asses, son. I can't talk. I just love that. I can't talk about my favorite porn, which is lesbian sex. Shout out.
Yeah.
Shout out to my favorite kind of porn too. Although I've always been with males because the women around me are too judgmental. So I'm glad this podcast is in full effect. The last time I saw y'all was at Marshall Plate live show in Brooklyn. I'm looking forward to your Sex Trivia Sunday starting in the spring. Oh, yay.
Yay.
I say this because your show makes it comfortable to be in my skin at 52. I have a right to want good, healthy sex. Yes, you do. And be comfortable with my body parts that sag more than they used to. And laugh about sexual encounters that weren't good or never happened because of my body odor. Be like that sometimes.
OD.
When I listen to the show, I'm like, that shit still happens today? Wow. Thank you for... Yes, it does still happen today.
Nothing is strange.
Thank you all so much for your show and see you soon. Melissa, a.k.a. Mel Lady, a.k.a. Malini.
Oh, that was a great message.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for enjoying our show.
Yes.
We enjoy the fact that you enjoy our show and are getting things out of the show. I want to give out like a casting call to any older folks in the 50 and up crowd who want to talk about sex.
Yes.
And also, even if like, you don't want to like be a guest on the show or anything like that, I would just like to hear like, that we have 50 and up listeners, and I know that Malini is not the only fucking 50 and up listeners. And I know that we even have 40 and up listeners, and we don't really read too many listener letters from 40 and up folks, or if there are any 60 and up folks listening,
yes.
Like, sure. Like, write in with your hotels or your past hotels or responses to things that you hear on the show that you think your like life experience has affected or anything like that, or things that you're concerned about. That's just like, I would love to normalize more of a diverse age set
yes.
in this show, in whatever kinds of things. Also, I want to put the onus on us to even just like talk about more current event stories that affect folks who are of that age range.
Yeah.
Advice on finding sex positive friends.
That's tough.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that you've been to the Marsha's Plate live show and Pod and Live NYC and are planning to coming to Sex Trivia leads me to believe that at the very least you are in New York City.
Yes.
And I know that there's a population of people who are into like polyam, swinging, and kink who are 50 and up.
Mm-hmm.
But just like regular, like maybe like vanilla sex, not saying like you're vanilla or whatever, but you didn't give any indicators that you're into kink or swinging or any kind of lifestyle. Finding folks of that age who are sex positive, I know that they exist.
I would say Facebook groups, honestly,
Facebook
just
groups.
Because I'm finding that there's literally one for everything.
That's true.
Yeah. You could even like look up something like open-minded, like-minded people, and you'll see it, and it will be the description like, hey, we talk about things that most people like. It's surprising how many different groups there are.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking for like specific sex positive, or maybe you're like, there's a certain specific channel that you're looking into,
mm-hmm.
like polyamory, that I'm in like 5 different groups, and there's a large, like it's clearly from what I'm seeing is dominated by older people, because most people who are married and like have established a life are older. But just they're out there. It's just about putting yourself in those spaces. It seems like you're already doing that because you're coming to our stuff.
Yeah, true.
But just
point.
Like having those conversations online, there's a lot of different sub-communities, forums, things like that, and you'll find something.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's tough to come from advice of just like, oh, try and get your friends to be more, because I don't want that.
I don't want any of that. Don't try to change people.
And I know I have certain groups that I talk to about certain things. So like we're fortunate enough that we could have these sex positive conversations with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I think I wouldn't, there's a couple people that would be like, oh, Polly. And I'm like, yeah.
So it's just a dub. Yeah. It's just
don't even bother
those kinds of relationships. Yeah. That's good advice.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook groups, hashtags.
Yeah.
Just try typing random things into Instagram and Twitter. YouTube also writing random things into, like, that's honestly sometimes that's how we like cast for the show. What else? I also don't think that it's and I don't think that you really think that this is an issue either, but like you had wrote, like, the issue is my age group is not typically getting advice from people in your age group. I think it's fine to take advice or whatever nuggets of knowledge from any kind of age group. So like, don't feel like bad about that or anything like that. But as four people who are all of the, like, we're 1 to 2 years within each other in the same age range, we're like, we do have blind spots. So you deserve other outlets of people of different age ranges talking about the things that matter to you. I met some folks at Afros in Audio last year who have a show, and they're very, the show is not about sex, love, and dating, but it's about just like all kinds of topics that women of, I think, like 50 and up, maybe like 45 and up discuss. I don't remember what the name of their show is. I'm so sorry, folks. They're all so sweet, but they're definitely sex positive. Like, one of them is a college counselor and was like, I would love for Inner Hall Uprising to come to the school because, like, these kids need to hear those kind of kinds of conversations. So if and when, because I'm going to try very hard to find it, when I find the name of their podcast, I'm going to put it in the show notes for this episode if I find it by the time I edit it. If not, I'll just email it to you, Malini, and then I'll shout it out on the show maybe the next week or something like that. But yeah, the people exist, and with the internet, it's so much easier to find folks. And if you are another listener who is 15 up, who have found solutions to, you know, finding friends who are sex positive or navigating friends who aren't sex positive, write into the show.
We want to know.
We want to know. We want to share that information with everybody else. So if this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any sense, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts and or Stitcher. And let everyone you know that you love these hoes. And if you're feeling extra frisky, you can leave a little donene monthly at patreon.com/innerhoeuprising or whenever the spirit moves you by visiting paypal.me/innerho, the links to all of which are in the show notes. We appreciate all of you.
And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inner Hoe Uprising without the G on Twitter, Inner Hoe Uprising on Instagram and Facebook. You can join our Facebook group by searching Inner Hoe Uprising Community, C-U-M. I know you see what we did there. Head to innerhoeuprising.com to sign for up for weekly goodies via our newsletter, Pay a Hoe, or check out merchandise. And if you would like to follow me, you can on Instagram at The Darkest Timeline or at on Twitter at Existing Crisis.
And you can follow me at SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter and Carmen San Diego for travel and food photos. Have a lovely week.
Bye.